This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney today. Here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Time to feed you some football. Joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline is John Cooper. He's a draft analyst over at Our Lads. John, what's going on?
Man, not much. Just grinding away, trying to figure this whole thing out.
Aren't we all? I know it's that time of year, and look, the NFL offseason has become almost as popular as end season these days, especially right now with the draft heating up and we're coming off the combine. And I want to start with the quarterbacks, because the top two quarterbacks, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, they didn't throw over at the combine, but a lot of other quarterbacks did. Personally, I didn't think it was a great showing from the quarterbacks that were there, but for some reason, it seems like Shedeur Sanders' stock seems to be dropping. Are you buying that? Are you buying that teams may shy away from Sanders at the early part of the draft?
Well, I think there's always been some questions about, you know, his skill set, but there's questions about Cam Ward's skill set too, so it's just a matter of what you think you can deal with. You know, I'm kind of a belief that you don't know what you have in a quarterback until you get him in the building and get a chance to work with him. You can watch him run around in shorts. You can watch game film. But how's he going to fit into your system? You know, Sanders has holes. He doesn't have the best escapability. He takes too many sacks. But he's got some real good talent as far as throwing the ball. I mean, his in the pocket with a clean pocket. He's about as accurate as it gets. And so he's got some very good redeeming qualities to work with. But, you know, you have to decide, can you handle some of the other things and can you work with those things?
Hey, John, if the Ravens wanted a safety at 27, is Emmanuel Worry going to be there, or Starks, either one of those guys going to be there? I like both.
Yeah, I do too. I think Emmanuel Worry is more likely going to be there than Starks, but I'm hearing different things on that. But either one of those two guys would be terrific if they were there for the Ravens.
Now their combines, you know, Emmanuel Worry was phenomenal, and Starks ran 4.5, you know, and he was projected, like they were saying, he was going to run 4.3 something, but he didn't. Now, did that help or hurt either one in their draft rising or dropping?
I don't think so. I haven't seen the GPS speed on Starks, but I think it was pretty good from what we looked at earlier in the season. So, you know, he's got good functional speed, and he plays well. He's very instinctive. He can do a lot of things. I mean, you could line him up at corner. You can line him up at nickel. You can line him up deep. I mean, we think he's a terrific football player. And he doesn't make a lot of mistakes either. He's a very smooth athlete. And Emmanuel Worry is somebody, the guy who does safeties for us, has had him pegged as a first-round pick from day one. More later, more down the line, not as versatile. But either one of those guys, we think, would be a great first-round pick for somebody.
We're talking to John Cooper, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. John, I remember last time I filled in for Bob, we were talking to someone, and they thought that draft stocks couldn't necessarily aren't changing a whole lot from the combine. Did you feel like there were any winners and or losers from this combine?
No, not really. I'm kind of that mindset too. I mean, these players or these scouting staffs, they do their homework, and yeah, there's going to be some adjustments. If some guy shows up and runs a 4.9 and he's way out of shape, you know, there's going to be some concerns. And that could drop their stock a little bit in the draft. But I don't think there's too many surprises. I know one of the things I've been reading about, and as some of these guys came out with shorter arms, Chris Paul Jr. from Mississippi, the big tackle, Will Campbell, Mason Graham. But, there's also something that we're looking at is wingspan differential. And, we think the wingspan and the height, plus 3 for Graham, we don't see a problem there. And we don't see a problem with Chris Paul Jr. He lacks bulk maybe. But, you can turn on the tape. He's a pretty good football player.
Hey, John, is there any quality inside linebackers, not first round, but I'm saying like 2 to 4, somewhere in that vicinity?
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of guys. We think the second round is where the linebackers should start coming off. There's people that are, saying guys like Jihad Campbell, might be a first round pick, Jalen Walker. And those two guys are also pass rushers, so that might knock up their stock. But, I see some possible holes in there. But a guy like Chris Paul Jr., I think he's a terrific linebacker. And, whether his size is going to inhibit his draft status, he probably won't. He's not going to be a first-round pick. He might be a second-round pick. But that's a solid player. Carson Schlesinger, we think, is one of the best cover linebackers that we've seen. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a legitimate second-round pick, whether, how far – and where he actually goes, that's going to be something, to be looked at. But, it's a good group of guys, that play the position. Demetrius Knight Jr. Is a big physical kid, 245. He's more of a thumper. Not sure he's probably more of a two-down guy at this point. Jeffrey Bassa is a great leader, a great speed linebacker at about 6'2", undersized guy. Barrett Carter. Even Jack Kaiser, who, hasn't really been on the draft boards that high, we think he's a pretty solid player. I mean, these are all guys that we think are in that pod of linebackers that would be in that 2 to 4 range.
John, I want to go to a guy that played here locally at University of Maryland, Ty Felton, wide receiver. He had a pretty good day at the combine, ran a 4.3 40. He had a great year in his final year in Maryland as well. What do you think about his draft stock right now?
On our board, right now, that he's number 20. So, that's pretty good. We see him as a, mid-round pick, maybe bottom of the – probably more of the top of the third day is where we see him going. But he's a solid receiver.
Hey, John, how many first-rounders do you guys have grade? How many first-round – legitimate first-round grades do you have on the first round?
We're going back and forth on that one right now. I went to 20.
Okay. So it's a fairly decent draft then.
Yeah, I went to 20, but now, we have a guy that helps cross-check us. He's a former NFL head coach that's a close friend that does some cross-checking for us, and he said 12.
12? So he doesn't see a lot of depth in the draft.
No, he doesn't see the depth
early
in the draft. But what we both say is this, and again, I may be wrong on the 20, but either way, the thing we're both saying is that from about 20 to about 50, the value of the player is very similar. Maybe it's 20 to 45. You're not going to see that much difference in terms of overall value. Then you're going to see the strength of the draft in terms of value comes in that area, that 20 to 50, into the late second round, you're going to see a lot of really good football players. And some of those guys that, we might have ranked as number 38, 39 could go in the first round, later in the first round. So, it's it I wouldn't be too surprised if you see somebody on these draft boards ranked number 35, 36, 37, go at number 24, 25, just simply because the value is similar.
So, John, unless a guy falls, if you're at 27 in the Ravens, are you staying there, trading back, or trading up? What would you advise Eric to do?
Well, I think it depends on what they need at the time. You know, is Ronnie Stanley going to be around? If he's gone, you know, if you really feel the tackle position is something you have to deal with, you know, then I think you might want to trade up to see if you can't get somebody. But yet at the same time, there's going to be guys, you know, probably that are going to be there that, you know, could be good players, you know, more right tackle types. But there's some, you know, athletic guys. You know, it's not a great draft for tackles. And, you know, a guy like Banks, I'm not sure how far where he's going to be. We think he's going to be at least in the upper 15 of the first round. Howard might drop a little bit. I don't think he's going to drop that far. But if you see somebody you like, you know, and they're slipping a little bit, you might trade up. I wouldn't go up too far. I don't want to give up too much. They've got 11 picks. You know, there's quality players, especially on defense. If they want to get better on, you know, upgrade certain positions on defense and get some depth, they're going to be able to do it throughout the draft.
John, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. How can people follow you and keep up with your work during this draft season?
Well, they can go to ourlads.com, very simple, ourlads.com, and they can see all of our, you know, the mock drafts that we do, the top 32, our depth charts, of course, are being updated daily as far as free agency is concerned. So all of that is there, but then also you can click on buy the guide, and our draft guide comes out. It'll be out in early April. It'll be mailed out in early April. And we're working on it right now, and that is a tremendous asset to have for the draft and then as a resource after the draft.
It's awesome. Let me just tell you that, John. It's an awesome book.
We appreciate it. We put a lot into it. Of course, Dan Shanka, you know, is still behind it all.
Yeah.
And he's been tremendous.
Give Shank my best.
I sure will. He loves you.
John, really appreciate your time, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again in the future.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for having me.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Ravens talk since it is draft season. We'll go back and look at Vinny's report on Tez Walker. We'll start to look at what Tez's role could be on this team next season as well. That's next here on the Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, in the next segment, right now, we're looking back at the Ravens draft class from last year, Vinny, and now we're looking at Tez Walker, the wide receiver from North Carolina.
Yeah, DeVontaze Walker, North Carolina, a junior, jersey 9, 6'1 and a half, 193, ran 4.36, 154.10, excellent, 33 and a quarter arms, extremely long arms, 9 and an eighth hands. 40 and a half vertical jump. Talk about explosiveness. 11'2" broad jump. All phenomenal measurements. Now, in 2020, here's the thing, you know, about Tez. 2020, he was at North Carolina Central. Did not play. Schools canceled the season for COVID. Mm-hmm. 2021, he went to Kent State. 8 games as a reserve. Had 5 catches for 124. Averaged 24.8. And a touchdown. 2022, Kent State. Started 12 games. 58 catches, 921, 15.9 per with 11 touchdowns. Then he goes in the portal. And he goes to North Carolina. And remember the issues with the NCAA with him. They said he couldn't play. And then they brought him back and said he could play. But he wasn't able to practice with them. So coming into North Carolina, he did not play in 2020, was a backup in 21. 22 is his first year starting. So in 23, he doesn't practice, and then he gets to play in 8 games. He got 6 starts, and he had 41 catches for 699, 17.1 average, 7 touchdowns. He was ruled eligible October the 5th. So he did not do anything till October, and he could not practice do anything. Everything was on his own till October 5. So his strengths, size, speed, length, he'll go up and get the high ball, good line awareness, he can run by people, used on reverses, has a burst, he can adjust to the deep ball, he can accelerate to the ball in the air, great takeoff, ability to break some arm tackles, good concentration, can win contested catches. 4 receptions for 70 yards versus Wiggins at Clemson. 4 game average over 20 yards per. Weakness, he can add more weight. He'll need some route development. Not much make you miss in space. Will need work getting in and out of cuts. Long strider, will need to get stronger. Needs work versus press. So all his weakness stuff is what? From not playing much. It's all raw. He's got raw ability. Summary, this kid has elite speed and vertical ability. He'll need to get stronger, develop his route tree, must get better under control to get in and out of cuts. Has not played a lot. I think he has a huge upside. And I think that's what the Ravens saw too. And, you know, like Cordell, I remember like when we were at the OTAs or the mini camps, whatever it was, where they were on 2 different fields. And you look up and say, damn, who was that? 81. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he was making a lot of like plays that make you take notice, you know, and then he really didn't have much of a role during the season because he wasn't ready. He needed a redshirt year. He got his touchdown, which was nice, probably give him some confidence, but he needs a lot of work in route development. And he should have gotten a lot because, you know, I haven't seen him practice or anything. And hopefully when we go out there for OTAs, Cordell, we see a guy that, you know, can bend his knees and sink his pads and get his pads over his toes and get in and out of cuts better. Because if he can do those things, that's really going to benefit him. Because right now he's a vertical guy. And, you know, does that help? Yeah, because he can run 4.36 and he's got size and length. So he's got a lot of attributes. And if he can develop, it's going to be a pleasant surprise for the fans. you know, because they hadn't seen him and they don't know a lot. Just like both these guys that we talked about, the fans hadn't seen him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but they have ability. They are good players and they got a chance to really help them. And Tez Walker, I mean, you're talking 6'1 and a half, a kid who's probably going to be 200 pounds, that vertical's over 40 inches, that runs 4'3, got extremely long arms. But, you know, he needs to get stronger so he can get off of press. But the biggest thing he needs to play because he hadn't played a lot of football.
Do you think he'll get the chance to play more this year?
No doubt.
Probably more because
Eric said that.
Barely played last year.
Yeah, Eric said that. You know, and he made a nice toe tap on the touchdown pass that he caught. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Cordell, OTAs, minicamp, ton of reps. He'll get a ton of reps. And he needs a ton of work, and he needs a ton of work with Lamar. That's what he's going to need. But he's got a ton of ability. That's the thing. I mean, he's got ability to be a star. Mack Brown told me, like when I had talked to him before he was coming out, Mack said, I told Tez, if he stays in school, you'll be a first-round pick that would have been this coming draft. Mm-hmm. He'd be a first-round pick. If you come out, you're going to go like third, fourth round. And that's what he did.
Yeah, I felt like this past season in his rookie year, he with his speed and downfield ability, there could have been a role for him. But I think the biggest reason why there probably wasn't as much of a role for him this season was because Bateman was so good in the vertical game. The year before, that was a big glaring hole for them. Their offense didn't have anything vertically down the field. They took shots, but it wasn't. They never connected. This past year, Bateman was everything and then some in the downfield passing game. So I felt like that was the one niche Tez Walker could have had this past year.
Well, the thing what Tez needs to do is he needs to just watch how Bateman runs routes. If he can become a route runner like Bateman with 4.36 speed and 200 pounder, you know, he's going to be really good. But and being a long stride type guy, Cordell, it's hard as a receiver to sink your hips and get your pads over your toes to get in and out of cuts quickly. It is hard. Takes a lot of work. And the best way to do it, the way I found teaching receivers, you work the tail end of the route. What's it, you know, because otherwise, you know, if you're sprinting 10 routes full speed and 15 yards, you know, it's you wear out.
Right.
Tail end of the route is like the last three steps. Mm-hmm. You work on the last three steps of getting your pads down, you know, getting your pads over your toes, and then throwing that elbow back and coming back. You know, you just got to work it over and over and over and over. And that's what he's got to do. And we'll see it. We're going to see what type of progress he makes, but got a ton of talent, a ton of talent. And he's a fourth round pick that could turn into second round value. I mean, he's got it.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio, talk some sports with him, check in with him about what's happening with the Lakers. They seem to be on a roll since acquiring Luka Doncic. And how's he feeling about his Bears that have been trying to bolster that offensive line? We'll ask him next here on The Fan. It's Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. Mike, what's going on?
Gentlemen, what's happening on this fine Thursday as we get ready for the MLB season and maybe people are getting excited about college basketball. I'm not sure.
Yeah, definitely so. It's that time of year. It's March. March is officially here. Mm. The buzzer beaters are pouring in. We got some
Terps
marquee matchups.
Northwestern. Yeah. Northwestern's his alma mater, Cordell.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, Terps finishing off against them. I don't think it's a lot going on with Northwestern these days, Mike, but it looks like things are happening with your Bears, right? Looks like you guys are starting to piece together that offensive line. Are you happy with the start of the offseason for those guys?
Sure, they're a year later than I thought.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, I just want to know who's pulling the string. Who wants all the credit for what they're doing right now, right? Is it the new head coach? Is it the guy that I've called the puppet, Ryan Poles, and the fall guy? Or is Kevin Warren calling the shots? Or do we just split it equitably and move on? Caleb Williams, you just got to figure out. They still have to teach him timing, rhythm, and getting the ball out on time and on schedule. The offensive line last year was terrible, but he did them no favors by doing the, hey, I'm going to try to make an extra move and an extra play, taking a sack or creating chaos. So, yeah, huge moves, certainly, to start free agency, to get two guys with the resumes that they have, you know, top 5% in terms of blocking efficiency and win rate and everything the last years when healthy. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge start to things. Hopefully nowhere near being done. I know they added a tight end earlier today. But, yeah, the silly season is upon us. There's a lot of great big names out there and chaos ensuing.
Hey, Mike, what about Rams and Chargers? They've both been in the news, you know, getting rid of Bosa, and Mac's gone, and they want Mac back, and, you know, Stafford's back, and what's Kupp doing, and Tutu Atwell signed, and, you know, so what's the word in L.A.?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting times, right? Obviously, you got the Lakers playing out of their minds and beginning a big stretch. They got the Knicks tonight, Dodger season 2 weeks away, so But football rules the day right now. I mean, the Stafford retention, pretty big. McVay trying to pass it off like it never got close to being disastrous, but I'll believe that. Just like a couple years ago, he wasn't going to walk away, right? Well, he openly admits that he was close. And then maybe it was our radio show, because we openly mocked the idea of leaving after one bad season. It's like, oh, the going got tough, huh? I want to be in the TV booth. It doesn't mean he won't be a member of Fox, where I have to bow down to his greatness at some point down the road. But less need saying Cooper Kupp. I mean, they're not closing the door, but bringing back Atwell at that price and with all the wide receivers, and it's a laundry list of guys either coming off injury a little longer in the tooth, maybe just tired of situation. Guys like Westbrook, Akine over there in Tennessee, who is a good player, does all the things right, just played for a bad squad that maybe he finds his release. So you got that. The Chargers side is interesting. Bosa missed 23 games the last couple of years. Mac, if he comes back on the cheap, is great. A lot of rumors that he either reunites with the Raiders or the Bears, which is really kind of interesting. But, yeah, you get to go into the marketplace. The draft has a bunch of defensive ends that you can go into. The market's robust, and now all eyes are what they do to add to McConkey in that receiving game, because there's some pretty big holes to fill there.
We're talking to Mike Harmon, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Mike, yesterday we saw Max Crosby get a 3-year extension with the Raiders for $106.5 million. Leading up to that, we had heard a lot from Max Crosby about wanting to be somewhere where they took winning seriously, and, you know, had people thinking that maybe he was on his way out of Vegas. And I don't want to sit here and throw tomatoes at him. I'm staying there to take that money as well. But I do find it funny that this is just another constant reminder that money trumps all, even for these guys that claim winning is important to them.
No, absolutely. And maybe you have a sit down with Pete Carroll, maybe you have a sit down with Tom Brady, the three of them together, guys who've won at the highest level, and just, you know, you can do an easy sell job with Max Crosby that, yeah, it's been a long time since Rich Gannon and Tim Brown and Jerry Rice and all those guys were succeeding, but that brand still has great equity. I will have you note, though, the Raider image is closing in the Universal City Walk over by the theme park. They've had a store forever. It sounds like they're going to build a couple of rides out there, since there's really nowhere to expand the park. But just interesting, because now I'll really have to work to find a Raiders hoodie if they should become good again. But I think that's part of the sell job, right? Not only here's 91.5 guaranteed, 91.5 guys for a defensive lineman who, as you said, Cordell, talking about getting out of town, then starting to lobby to bring in Aaron Rodgers. But I think selling him on, look how big this brand is globally, and if you win, what a legend you become being part of it. I think you could go to the ego two ways. Here's a giant check for your wallet, and you know, you're this linchpin to great things for this franchise.
Hey, Mike, what did you take away from the combine?
Well, I think in the end, it's the it's more the stories off the field. I mean, the combine itself, I don't know. Some of the measurement stuff I thought was interesting. that everybody tried to push away as fast as they could. This guy's hands, you know, a half inch bigger, Jalen Milroe. Here's how the reach for all the offensive linemen was suddenly different from initial measurements. So I got to figure out what the standardization is, put chips in the measuring stick, I guess, like we're going to do on the field. But the actual performances on, I don't know how much you take away from it, right? People trying to kill Will Howard. Well, he's never worked with these receivers. So
that's what I've always said, Mike. If I was an agent, I would never let my guy throw at the combine for those reasons. You throw like every 10 minutes, and then you throw to people you don't even know.
Yeah, I mean, from the timing of it, as you say, just down to the unknown, to the, is it really going to help you? Right? If you've been playing college football as a starter for 3 years, now we're talking 30-some-odd plus games, right? Plus bowl games, plus now playoffs or whatever. It's like, there's a lot of film, which is why a lot of these coaches, the aforementioned McVay, Belichick did it, whatever. You don't go. You send some folks to go check in on the medicals. You have your team that comes in and does the interviews. But otherwise, if you're the coaches, what are you doing? You're looking for tendencies on tape. You're looking for win rates on tape against quality opposition and what a guy can do, you know, when he's playing in pads in the throes of a monster game in front of 100,000 people with the eyes of the world watching. Not on Indianapolis, T-shirt and shorts with guys they don't know. The only thing you can do is lose, unless somehow you really hitched up a Bucky Barnes kind of arm. Get that arm from the Avengers, mm-hmm. and suddenly you're throwing the ball an extra 20 yards downfield. Otherwise, the only thing you can do on the field is lose if you're a quarterback.
Mike, you know what the other problem is like this is the first time that coaches get a chance to see these guys, so they're making instant evaluation. Because a lot of them hadn't seen a lot of film, if they'd seen any, and they're seeing this guy for the first time. I remember when I was there, when I was with the Niners, and George Seifert watched Ricky Waters. He said, "I'm drafting him." Hadn't watched film, hadn't done anything, just saw him run, catch, do all that, and we took him in the second round. You know, so I mean, coaches fall in love at the combine, and that is a lot of times a problem.
Well, just remember, a lot of the things we put in place as, you know, collegiate and professional teams, hell, we should be better about it in our own lives, guys, is the protect you from yourself kind of motivation. As you say, with Garner, hey, that works out, right? You know, some of the running backs, you're going to find the diamond in the rough. And I think that's where the combine wins for smaller schools, right? For where you can find yourself a little bit of love, you know, Ricky Waters, and you know, he played at a big school, but a chance to shine. But it's just that the brain's all over the place. I haven't had my caffeine, which is surprising as fast as I'm talking. But it's just that idea of, yeah, we can find the guy, and then we go back and watch the tape and get your confirmation bias in reverse. But yeah, the worst thing you can do is, you know, have that, all right, I need to have it now, kind of impulse buy. Why do I have all the candy at the checkout at a grocery store? Right? Or you'd be like Jerry Jones and just say, we have no money allocated to free agency because we don't need to fill holes there. I mean, you can go all ways at it, guys. I mean, it's, you know, you could just wallow in mediocrity forever.
Mike, last thing for you. You brought up the Lakers earlier, and they've been on fire since acquiring Luka Doncic. Meanwhile, the Mavs are just a sinking ship these days for a variety of reasons. But the Lakers, they blow out the Pelicans the other day. They've got everybody buying in the hype. They are up to 2 in the West now. What odds are you giving the Lakers to really come out of the Western Conference when it's all said and done?
Well, I mean, it's a short run of teams there. I mean, Oklahoma City is great, but untested. I don't want to be that guy, but I mean, they've been in the playoffs once in the last 4 years. SGA has been fantastic. Chet's come back. Lou Dort's been a great defender. And if guys keep getting hurt, maybe they don't hit the threshold. So he wins the defensive player of the year by default. But all of that to say, you look at the Western Conference. Now we start looking at the viability of the Warriors, right? Veteran acumen, guys that in a series might be able to grind you down. The Lakers, the same thing. I think the offense has just been flowing. You're getting some wide open looks because you're collapsing on either Luka and LeBron and they pass out. So these guys are standing by themselves. So if you get decent shooting, Austin Reeves may play tonight. You got Dalton Connect after his pouting, after being traded and getting sent back as that thing with Charlotte blew up. I mean, you got guys, they can score. The big question is, when it matters, will they be able to defend? And I know all the metrics are great right now, but if the shots aren't hitting for those secondary guys and it gets into tight formations, tight games, will they have enough defense to make it work in those kind of circumstances? Right now, you're helped by the metrics that your offense has been so efficient. Your other teams are pressing and taking some really terrible shots. But out of the West, yeah, and Denver's just the team nobody talks about that come playoff time, look out, right? So I think it's a very short menu up there. We talked to Rick Bucher, our FS1 guy, last night, long time in the biz, and he thinks anybody in that top six right now can actually emerge if the bracket matches up nicely, except for Houston. So we'll see what happens, guys. But certainly a lot of excitement here. Everybody differing car flags all over Los Angeles.
Well, you could probably throw the Grizzlies in there, too. I'm kind of done with the Grizzlies. Four-game losing streak, and they looked awful last night against OKC as well. Mike, great stuff as always, man. How can people check you out on Fox Sports Radio?
Rambling, gambling man. What is it? 10 o'clock Eastern time, then 4 hours of barking at Jason Smith. Find it on all the apps, Twitter at Swollen Dome. I do all the pre-show prompts and guests and all, but and then the I Watch Flex podcast. We did a 5-round mock draft heading into 2025, so we're already starting to churn the waters there ahead of free agency. So fun stuff, guys.
Good. Hey Mike, what time are you on Sunday, because I'll be driving 8 hours
Sunday. Wow, that is,
well, I gotta drive to Ann Arbor. I'm driving home from Ann Arbor.
Look at you, road warrior. Make sure you got a nice big water bottle with you. Noon Eastern time, okay. 2 hours of audio greatness.
All right. And Mike, I'm sure we'll get a lot of NHL trade talk, which is tomorrow at 3 o'clock, 12 your time, Mike, for your L.A. Kings who've lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, it's funny, right, because they've been virtually unbeatable at home, and now all of a sudden the wheels are spinning. Everybody else is taking the good mojo here in Los Angeles, and now they're sputtering. But tell you what, Kings hockey, you want to find 18,000 of your most loyal and fervent sports fans, the adoration to one team, go inside that arena in a home date for the Kings. It is really unlike anything else.
Mike, appreciate you, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Be good, guys. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll wrap things up, take one last trip through the Funhouse, and announce tomorrow's Featured Artist Friday winner before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan. They'll all be here tomorrow, including Bob. He'll be back.
I won't be here tomorrow.
Oh, no. Yeah, Vinny, you're
I'm
hitting
going
the road.
To Ann Arbor, Michigan. Yeah. It's the Penn State versus Michigan in the quarterfinals, Big Ten hockey tournament. So hopefully we got to win 2 out of 3. And hopefully this weekend we win 2 out of 3, and we'll be on to Michigan State the following weekend.
Yeah, so hopefully you come back with some good news. Bob will be back tomorrow. I'm sure he'll be still popping champagne bottles from that Terps win last night and getting ready for the Northwestern game. Before we get to the Funhouse, do we have a Featured Artist Friday winner?
Featured Artist tomorrow, we're going to keep it simple, David Bowie.
There it is, David Bowie. I could probably name some David Bowie songs if I heard them, not off the top of my head, but if I heard them, I'm sure I would be able to recognize a few. Let's hit that Funhouse.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
A couple people chiming in with thoughts about the Orioles leadoff hitter situation. Mm-hmm. Should Gunnar Henderson continue to hold down that role? John in Millersville says he and his brother coached Little League for about 20 years. Didn't take us long to realize that we should have our best hitter leading off every time. You don't want to be down by one run in the last inning and have your best hitter waiting on deck. Give them the most at-bats, no doubt about it.
I totally agree. And Gunnar has shown the ability to obviously hit for power in the leadoff spot. He can get on base. He'll steal a bag. I mean, he is everything that you're looking for out of an offensive player. So give him as many at-bats as you possibly can, I say.
This one offers a different perspective, says Jackson Holliday would be nice to develop into the ideal leadoff hitter for the Orioles, and he has had success in the minors in that role. Goes on to say Gunner should be two or three in the lineup. Not every team needs to have their best player leadoff. For example, Ohtani with the Dodgers stands out as an obvious one.
No, I mean, I don't disagree with that, but again, the key word in that text is develop. He's got to develop into that. I don't think right now Jackson Holliday is ready to be the opening day leadoff hitter. But yeah, in a perfect world, sure. Like I mentioned, I mean, it'd be great to have Sid go back to being that. I loved when Sid was at the top of the lineup because you knew he was going to steal a bag if he got on base. But right now, we don't know if Sid can do that right now. So Gunner is the one right now on March 6th that we know is equipped to be the leadoff hitter.
Gunner didn't start out being the leadoff dude. So, yeah, a year from now maybe, or by the end of the year, maybe Holliday can.
Right.
And one last one here on the Ravens. This texter says that wide receiver will always be that early free agency flashy move that fans call for. But there's a reason so many become available this time of year. Their contracts are absurd. They're rarely worth it unless they're truly an elite top 10 wideout. Ravens money better spent elsewhere.
To 100% agree. 100%. I got to take care of starters before I worry about backups.
Yeah, I mean, and right now the Ravens are pretty good. And look, it hasn't been many years that we're able to say that, but they're pretty good in the pass catching department right now. So we will see what the Ravens offseason looks like going forward. I'm sure it's pretty soon here we'll start to hear about them retaining some of their own guys. That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Appreciate our guest, everybody
Cornell.
That called. Appreciate you guys for having me. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're up next. Until next time, class dismissed.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.